Now, the third premise is that any dominating idea, plan, or purpose which you hold in your mind through repetition of thought and which is emotionalized with a burning desire for its realization is taken over by the subconscious section of the mind and acted upon through whatever natural and logical means that may be available. In the slang of the day, there is a mouthful in that sentence. Any dominating idea, plan, or purpose held in the mind through repetition of thought and which is emotionalized with a burning desire for its realization is taken over by the subconscious section of the mind and acted upon through whatever natural and logical means that may be available. Now, the key ideas in that sentence is natural and logical means and a burning desire. Well, a burning desire is a desire which prompts you to be willing to give anything in the world, whatever the price may be, in order to attain the object of that desire. A burning desire is one that you take to bed with you at night, you give it over to your subconscious mind at night, you get up with it in the morning, you eat with it, you sleep with it, you first get it, and then it gets you. Now, that's what a burning desire is. You may have to talk about it. You may have to think about it. However, when it comes to talking about it, be careful where you talk, because you may become boresome to somebody. Now, some of these things that I'm going to tell you about may seem fantastic. Some of them you may never have done before. Don't just take a part of this philosophy and apply it. Take it just as I give it to you, and no matter how foolish it may seem to you or to those around you at the beginning, follow it to the letter. The fourth premise is that any dominating desire, plan, or purpose, which is backed by that state of mind known as faith, is taken over by the subconscious section of the mind and acted upon almost immediately. The fifth premise, the power of thought is the only thing over which any human being has complete, unquestionable control. A fact so astounding that it connotes a close relationship between the mind of man and infinite intelligence. The very fact that the Creator gave man control over only one thing, it was intended that that one thing should be sufficient for the man's needs. And believe you me, it is sufficient if you use it properly. If there isn't anything you can't achieve which you can conceive and believe. If you can conceive an idea, a plan, or a purpose and believe that you can achieve it, you can find out ways and means of doing it. But you have to be definite about it. You have to be specific. You have to know what it is you want. You have to know why you want it. And you have to make up your mind what you're going to give in return for it, because nature frowns upon the idea of something for nothing. And the sixth premise, the subconscious section of the mind appears to be the only doorway of individual approach to infinite intelligence. The basis of the approach is faith, based upon definiteness of purpose. Any idea, plan, or purpose held in the mind in a spirit of faith begins almost immediately to reveal to you ways and means of carrying out that idea. The seventh principle, every brain is both a broadcasting set and a receiving station for the vibrations of thought, a fact which explains the importance of moving with definiteness of purpose instead of drifting, since the brain may be so thoroughly charged with the nature of one's purpose that it will begin to attract the physical or material equivalents of that purpose. That's an astounding thing, ladies and gentlemen, all the more so because it is a provable fact. That is to say that the first broadcasting and receiving set ever built was the brain of man. And whether you recognize it or not, you're constantly tuning in on the vibrations of other people, especially the people with whom you are in harmony. I mean, where your thoughts and their thoughts agree. If your thoughts happen to be of poverty, of failure, of illness, why, you'll tune in the thoughts of all other people who are releasing similar thoughts. If your thoughts are dominating the control by thoughts of success and riches, opulence, you'll be tuning in on the thoughts of all other people who think along those lines. There'll be times when ideas will flash into your mind that are so negative that they almost scare you. You wonder where they came from. You wonder why your mind would hand over to you such destructive thoughts. And if the truth were known, you are just, you've left your receiving set open, you've tuned in on the wrong type of minds. This philosophy is designed to keep your receiving set closed to all except the kind of minds that you want, and those are positive minds. minds that think in terms of what you want instead of what you don't want. I think one of the strangest things in life consists in this, that most people go all the way through life, regardless of their education or their standing or their opportunity, they go all the way through life as failures. They suffer with fears and limitations, and strictly speaking, they never find happiness. And the reason, if you would examine it, is that they allow their minds to dwell upon failures, poverty, ill health, and the things they don't want. Now, the mind has a peculiar way of attracting to you the things that it feeds upon, things that it associates with. It's like a rotten apple in a barrel, and you can't afford it. You can't afford close association with people who are not vibrating on all 12 cylinders. Pick out the winners. Be like the man who went to the restaurant and ordered lobster, and when they brought him out, he had one of his big claws was gone. He complained about it, and the waiter said, oh, he got in a fight and lost that one. Said, bring me the winner. I want the winner. Now, that's the idea exactly. Associate with winners because they'll do something to you. And if you associate with failures, they'll do something to you in spite of all you can do.